additions to the draft agenda since someone already gave me the segue. As probably most of you know at this point, this is going to be a last meeting with this group because I'm retiring in 3 weeks. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the staff transition and add that to the agenda, if that's okay with folks. Maybe take it up after approval of the minutes.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Anybody else have items they want to add to the agenda?
What about staffing changes and locations at the farm?
Okay. We can fold that into kind of the transition.
Okay.
And so we'll do that, take that then, which I guess any other folks that want to talk about stuff? All right, so then I think it's time to go on to the approval of the March 20 minutes. I think hopefully you pulled them down from the link that I sent yesterday, or had already pulled them down from that link, had the chance to review.
I move that we accept the minutes as written.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Who was opposed?
I don't think anybody. I think it was just delayed.
A computer delay favor. Here? Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
computer delay.
Okay. It was a surprise, but it's good to know that was probably the problem. Okay. So let's talk about the staff transition then. So, couple of things. Rocky Houston is now in his fourth day at the county. He is our new program manager 3, and so he'll be sort of assuming some of the roles I've assumed in working with the Heritage Farm. And obviously we'll be very involved in the business and marketing plan development and, whether we're able to get someone to replace me on board in the reasonably near future, we'll see, but at least for that interim period, probably Rocky working together with Alexander are gonna be your principal contacts on things. So I'll let Rocky say things in a few minutes, but I just want to sort of run over what his portfolio with Parks is. So he's going to oversee the, as I said, sort of the planning and programming aspects of the farm and a few other small projects like the Parks and Recreation Open Space Plan, the Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan, Asset Management Plan, Parks Capital Projects Planning and Development, and of course the Business and Marketing Plan. So Rocky, you want to introduce yourself and say a few words?
Thank you, Pat. Everyone, again, this is Rocky Houston, brand new newbie here in the state of Washington. I've spent most of my career down in Oregon. I've got 21 years in government and about 17 years now in recreation. So I've worked all over doing regional planning, project development, and like Pat said, I'm here to help the department on planning and development elements, asset management. So again, thank you everyone, and look forward to learning more about what you guys are doing there and more about the Heritage Farm.
Welcome aboard, Rocky.
The other, significant change is that Eric Harrison is here. I think some of you I know have had the opportunity to meet Eric in person when we had meetings with WSU. He will be in charge of kind of the operations functions at the farm. He also does similar things at Camp Bonneville, the Fairgrounds and Event Center, sort of the public facilities, building and operations campuses, and Luke Jensen Sports Complex, which are all pretty unique facilities in our portfolio of properties. And I don't know that Eric is able to join us today. Is Eric here? Just let me check and see.
I am, yes. I was able to make it.
Okay, great. Eric, so you want to tell a little bit about yourself to those that may not have had the pleasure of meeting you yet?
Yeah, of course. So good evening or good afternoon to everyone. Again, my name is Eric Harrison. My most recent experience comes from the City of Portland Recreation, where I was the maintenance supervisor for the heavy equipment team. So my team maintained all the entire park system, doing earthworks, special projects, planning, design. So I had my hands in pretty much everything parks related, even natural areas as well. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to work with you on Heritage Farm. My lens will be strictly operations and maintenance. So that's the lens that I'll be looking through, and I'll be directly in charge of Joe and all the great stuff that he does at Heritage Farm.
All right. Thank you, Eric. And there's also a couple familiar faces. Oh, excuse me, there was a question.
Yeah, Pat, I have just a clarifying question. This is Christine Perry with the Extension. And just wondering, so just to kind of, let's get some clarity. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So
is someone have their speaker still on besides me and Christine? Because I'm getting an echo anyway.
Yeah.
I can mute mine. Maybe that'll help.
So just to clarify, I'm so excited to be meeting. I've met Eric. I'm excited to meet Rocky. I've met Alexandra. So very excited. So I'm just wondering, as far as Eric is saying that he's overseeing more of the operations and maintenance functions of the farm, which is overseeing Joe. And Rocky and Alexandra, you're saying they're assuming some of the roles that you did, Pat. So I'm just, and that's part of the farm too. So I guess who would be the, I guess, is there several contacts, or would we just email all three if things regarding things around the farm, or is there specific? It sounds like Eric is specifically around, you said operations and maintenance. So I'm wondering exactly what that is with Joe, but again, just get clarification of making sure that we're not emailing everybody, but if there are specific people to be contacting.
Hey, I'll chime Christine. In there. So I think my role is the structures that are like the greenhouses, our maintenance shop, the vehicles, and maintaining the grounds that are not maintained by some of the other organizations that are there. I think that's what I was told was my role, but you know, things do change. So that's what I know, and we can get further clarification down the road if necessary, but land, structures, and everything that Joe kind of does.
Hey, Christine and others, this is Kevin Tyler with Clark County Parks and Lands Division. As you guys know, Galena Burley left the county recently. So I've stepped into an interim division manager role until we get that position filled. I've worked with many of you before in a similar capacity before Galena was hired. So I wanted to provide a little bit of context just to help clarify. And, you know, this is just based on my understanding of how we established the division structure or organization. And so I think Rocky mentioned that he's more of planning and development manager. So his focus will be more on planning. So think of things like the business plan, right? If we plan other things at the farm in the future that come after the business plan or related to, you know, maybe there's things like, you know, we've talked about a trail in the future, you know, if there's things of that nature that are more of a planning and development side of things, and Rocky's going to be the point of contact. Eric's more focused on the operational structure of the Heritage Farm. So as we start to dive into, you know, lease agreements and things like that, I'm going to have Eric working with me, getting those established and settled. So Eric's going to be in an office location over there with Joe. We've got some cubicles set up over there. So he'll be, you know, I would say from this point forward, if it's not something that's planning and development, then go to Eric first as your main point of contact for operations at Heritage Farm. But if it's more about the business plan or things that come after the business plan, let's have Rocky be our main point of contact. Does that help everybody?
This is Sandy. It does help. Thank you, Kevin. Sure. I do have a question regarding the Heritage Farm Advisory Board. Then when we're putting together proposals or recommendations for things, I would understand that we would work with Eric on that.
No, I heard we work with Rocky on that. So good question.
Yeah, yeah. So again, most of the functions of the farm advisory team are approving things that are happening on the farm, right? Although there is some component of business planning, but regular sort of day-to-day operations seem more along the lines of what Eric's doing. So I think that Eric's going to be the point of contact for farm advisory team. If we have planning functions that come into play, then, you know, we'll invite Rocky and he can invite you. He can give you updates on, you know, what's going on with business planning or, you know, things of that nature.
I'm sorry, Christy, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's Nancy. I just had a question. We've got our lease is coming up. So we should send our letter of intent to Eric is what I am understanding, correct?
Hi, Nancy. So if this is Master Gardener lease, correct?
Correct.
So that was already sent to Kathleen Otto, the county manager, earlier this week. And I did respond and let Kathleen know that Eric and I would be working on that.
Excellent.
And I did already give Eric a heads up about that.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Kevin.
Yeah, no problem.
So another example, Kevin, last year, the advisory board recommended a certain dollar increase in the community gardens up to, I think, $75 or something like that from 60. And we sent that to Galena and Pat, and eventually ended up with Amon. Which I'm hearing is more of a Rocky kind of function, but I'm getting more confused as more people are talking.
Sure. I can understand that because it's new, right? It's a new setup. We're going to have to work through some of these things. But I could see if we're talking about the community gardens that it's kind of tied to business planning. But I think business planning is kind of a bigger picture of like how we're going to use the farm going forward, right? How we're going to adjust to financially to the farm moving forward, right? But community gardens, you know, might be more of an operational function. So that's something I think we're going to have to dive into and figure out.
Just to clarify, Kevin and Kurt, so the community garden is overseen by Extension. So that's an Extension function and an Extension decision. So that particular thing would go through Extension.
I think you're right, Christine.
This is Rob, Kevin. How about, I'm getting confused with this discussion. What about proposals that come to the advisory board for, say, a new research project? Also, we had submitted suggestions on reorganizing the storage issues and setting up the fee structure.
That sounds operational to me.
Both of those.
Yeah.
Well, it does sound like we can start with operations and start with Eric, and then if it needs to move to Rocky or to someone else, they can help us navigate that.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
All right.
Alex is our key to helping folks navigate through our through our division. So I'm glad everybody knows her. She's kind of the heartbeat and in the middle of everything of the division.
Yeah, if you ever have questions, feel free to reach out to me via email and I'll ensure that I get a hold of either Eric or Rocky and route your concern or question to the appropriate party.
Okay,
any more questions about sort of the staff transition? And I think, you know, Eric's been here, I think this is his fourth week. Rocky, this is his fourth day. So, you know, it would not be a surprise if things evolve as roles sort themselves out a little bit on down the line. And I'll be off somewhere. and you know, Kevin was great as our interim manager for about 10 months, and we're happy to have him back on board in that role, and he's obviously very affable and easy to work with as well. So with that, I guess it's time to go on to the master planning discussion or business and marketing plan discussion. Everybody ready to move there? Okay. Where we are in the business marketing plan update, we are actually developing an MOU for phase one of the business and marketing plan that we hope to complete this year. That is the phase in which WSU Metro Center is kind of paying for sort of groundwork which will then move into the more specifics of a business and marketing plan in 2022. So Metro Center will facilitate the development of a business plan for the farm with input from farm users and stakeholders, including the county and additional subject matter experts, like some of you that were at the meeting a few weeks ago. They had their operations person from Mount Vernon down here, and I think he had great insight into how that is set up operationally, that operation is set up. And so they will talk to folks like that as needed. And WSU will report back on the results and process for stakeholder and community engagement, recommendations with key topics and issues to address when developing a business plan, recommendations based on comments from the community regarding their vision for the future of the Heritage Farm based on earlier master planning work, and the business planning efforts, which include ideas for offsetting operating costs currently covered by the general fund, setting goals that can be measured towards success, how those goals will be measured, including both monetary and non-monetary returns on investment and community impacts, a use of existing resources and infrastructure at the farm, and recommendations on how to proceed with further development of the business plan. Phase two is something that we have proposed a budget allocation for 2022, and it will really develop the final business plan, including the specific strategies and initiatives to achieve the articulated goals and the strategic plan moving forward to implement them. Again, that is contingent on approval of a budget authorization. I think that will come, but you know, it's not a done deal yet. And our MOU with the Metro Center is still not finalized, but we're moving quickly towards finalizing that. Any questions on the business and marketing plan status and how we expect to move forward on that?
So, Pat, this is Heather Tischbein on the phone. Can
yes,
you
Heather.
Hear me?
Yes.
On the PDF file that that Galena sent me from the Metro Center, it stipulates an end date and final report in November of this year. But what I'm hearing you say now is that that's probably outdated information, that deadline's already shifting into 2022. Would that be correct?
We have not yet formalized this MOU with the Metro Center. We've just received comments back from our legal counsel about its structure, and so we wanted to make revisions, ship it up to the Metro Center for their review, and hopefully move forward once we are in agreement on how to move forward. So I think time frames will be part of that discussion. What is realistic? We know that we're proposing a budget allocation for the detailed work in phase two for next year. You know, of course, budgets are for the entire year, so we want to have the authority, whether that begins right away in January or it's something that has to follow a little later based on us working with the Metro Center. So I think, you know, the specific schedule is not yet pinned down yet until we have an executed MOU with the Metro Center folks.
And a follow-up question, please. How does a person get on a mailing list to stay updated as this process unfolds?
I think we will certainly put together some sort of mailing list. I think we will also use our websites to provide people, for example, all of our minutes are posted on the website. As we did with the update of the master plan, we set up a website to receive comments and input on that, and I would expect a similar process as we move forward.
And then one last question, and then I promise I'll stop. So the meeting recently in the past with the Mount Vernon people, if there are other meetings like that, is the public welcome to sit in and listen? And if so, how do we sign up for that?
I think that was a meeting that was by invitation. I think one of the tasks for the Metro Center is to articulate how we go about that outreach and involvement, open meetings, whatever the process, we're looking for their input on that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, Heather.
This is Ed Rosales. Can I add to Heather's questions?
Sure.
So just a point of reference, I am the president of the League of United Latin American Citizens here in Clark County. And to add to that question, not including the community-based organizations such as LULAC into the conversations about agriculture in Clark County seems to be an accident that I think we can correct as you move forward with the MOU and inviting the Metro Group. It would be wise to include the Latino community in the conversation, especially since we have a stake in the health of both agricultural in Clark County and Heritage Farm. In speaking to county council, there have been opportunities missed that we would like to be a part of the conversation minimally on. So I don't know if that's an opportunity waiting to happen or if it was just not something that had been planned in the past, but I'd like to make sure that it's planned for the future.
We agree. We would love to have the involvement. One of the things that we wanted to try and do as we go through this process is broaden out sort of the stakeholders that are rightfully involved in the program, and certainly the Latino community is one of those.
Thank you.
Welcome. Other questions?
Pat, just to clarify, a clarifying question, I guess, is that initial stakeholders meeting that the Metro Center put on was kind of the stage one with bringing together stakeholders that are using the farm or that are kind of leasing the farm. So it was getting the feedback of more of the operations, the daily operations of the farm. So that's what that initial kind of invite only meeting was. It wasn't to exclude other stakeholders. It was just, it really was about like, how are we looking at operating the farm? So the people that were there were just those who had a stake in that operations piece. And again, as Pat said, is definitely the next stages are opening it up to other stakeholder groups.
So you know, Christine, I'm searching for ways to fix this, so.
Yes, and I'm so glad you're here, Ed.
Thanks.
We are too. I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Ed. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was saying I wouldn't miss this for the world. I'm glad that I finally got looped into these conversations, because if you didn't know, in January, we held a workshop that we invited Christine and several other people on this call with to talk about food insecurities and food safety, but more importantly, the food supply chain that has some gaps in it. And Heritage Farm would be able to play a massive role in that if we can ever get to that point. And we're looking forward to moving these conversations forward with the help of everyone on this call today.
All right. Thank you, Ed. Any other questions before we move on to the Farm Advisory Committee report? All right. Sandy, I think I've got your name by this one.
Okay. The Heritage Farm Advisory Board met yesterday, and other members that are on that board can chime in if I miss something. But a couple of conversations we had. We've been working with Parks, and I'm really poor at names, but I have a contact, a person who's working on securing some sheds from the Sheriff's Department, and she's just waiting for us to determine where we might place those sheds on the property, so she can move it forward through the Historic Preservation Commission to get those approved so we can get them moved over there. And so Kirk and I did do a walkthrough at the farm, and with some input from Blair and others on the committee, have decided to place some of them up near the hog barns, and then maybe a couple of them north of the hoop house. And so we're looking at 5 to 6 of them, if we can still secure that many. So I'll be sending a note out to try to move the process on. There are some volunteer groups on the property, as well as Kirk are willing to help get those moved to the farm, because we were told it would be our responsibility to get them moved and placed at the farm. And then the Heritage Farm Advisory Board will send out some information to the projects on the farm that there'll be additional storage available. We did make some recommendations of several months back about storage. And again, we're trying to help come up with small ways to increase some revenue. It's not gonna, you know, be enough to cover all the farm expenses, but trying to come up with some small ways. And one of them was to have a fee for some of the storage spaces. So we're coming through with a process for storage fees. And I believe our recommendation was $1 per square foot. So we'll need to figure that out for those storage sheds and then have people apply for the use of those storage spaces. And we've also made some recommendations for some reorganization of some of the current storage spaces as well. So that's a project that we'll be working on here in the next couple of months so we can get them moved, hopefully by fall, if we can get it through the heritage or the process through the Historic Commission. Any questions about that or other additional comments?
Sandy, I meant to ask you yesterday, what's the size of the shed? Do you have an idea?
Oh, I knew you'd ask me that. There's two sizes, but they're not that much different. Kirk, do you remember, like 4x6 or something like that?
No, they're approximately 10, either 10x10 or 10x12. So they're you know, sort of the size of a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
Not that big. So I mean, it's still 140 to 150 square feet, which is a lot of good storage space for shovels and rakes and that kind of stuff. So
and we kind of felt like putting
them, we know about them at this point.
We felt like putting them up the hill a little ways helps move the storage maybe closer to some of the projects that are up above. One project did ask and did put up a storage shed up by the blueberries. And so if people are trying to have equipment going around, it might be easier if they have projects up in the mid-range of the farm to store their utensils there than to have them down at the bottom and have a cart them up and then back down again. And also might ease some congestion of traffic and so on down below and by the greenhouses. So that was some of our philosophy for the placement of there. The other thing we had a conversation about is that the Chrysanthemum Group has been working under the auspice of, or under the umbrella of the Master Gardener Foundation. And we're making a recommendation that they apply and become a project of their own, and then we'll find a space for them to work or some other agreement on the farm because the Master Gardeners are needing the space that's there. And that's a pretty small group with a small function on the farm. So I'll be working with them in the next few weeks to try to help them become a separate project. They really need to be a project on their own rather than being under the umbrella of the Master Gardeners. They use some of their garden space, and Nancy can correct me if I'm wrong, they use some of the greenhouse space, but there's not a lot of common work together. So it makes sense that they become a project on their own.
Sandy, yeah, this is Nancy. That is correct. That is correct. They should be a standalone, and we appreciate the effort. Thank you.
Yeah. And the last thing, I guess, is I did finish up the summary reports from the projects from 2021 or 2020. I mean, I'm a little late in the year. I did put together a financial statement and did present that to a few people at the Metro Center meeting. And I'm willing to share the those financial things with this group if they wish. And I'll make the summary report look a little prettier, and then I'll forward it on to Alex, and then she can share it with others. But I do have that completed for the 2020 year. Kirk mentioned Holly's project. I think that one, that project you're talking about, Kirk, is one that will be coming through the Food System Council. And we'll be talking about that at the Food System Council meeting next Thursday. But to give people a heads up, the Food System Council has been doing a series of events talking about food access in Clark County. And their last one will be coming up here, I believe it's in August, and it's about food waste. But the Food System Council is looking at doing some kind of thing at the Heritage Farm that might highlight the farm and what's going on at the farm, and doing a small tour, and then maybe having some partners on the farm or various people having some booths to talk about local food access. It's not to be a huge event like the old harvest festivals by any means, but to more or less highlight the farm itself and its role that it plays in local food access and how it might help farmers provide more food for the farm, for the community, and also just a variety of things about local food in our community, but holding it there at the Heritage Farm. And I'm kind of rambling because I don't know the details. I'm not on that committee on the Food System Council. So I know enough to be dangerous. but to let you know that there is something in the works to have something that might highlight the farm, and that could happen this fall in September, early October. Christine, do you have anything more to add?
I'll jump in just for a second. The nice thing about this proposal is that it's a highly educational perspective. Every phase of the discussion and the plan has an educational component about something related to the farm and education about our food sources. So it really ties to our principles that we have established way back when.
And then I guess lastly, I just look forward to working more with Eric and Rocky as we move forward with a new regime, and are anxious to meet with you and learn more about what your roles are and how our roles will overlap and what we can do to help back and forth. So welcome aboard, Eric and Rocky.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. And members of the Farm Committee for, your continuing interest and innumerable hours that you put into furthering the future of the farm. Thank you.
And we wish you the best of luck, Pat. We'll miss you.
Oh, it's been fun. It's one of those somewhat challenging but very rewarding programs. So hopefully it'll become less challenging and more rewarding as we move forward. Any questions for Sandy? Okay, Joe and Eric, if you're still there, anything to talk about what's going on at the farm?
Well, I was just on the phone with Eric right before this event, and I said, I may dump it on. So take it away, Eric. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so Joe absolutely does nothing over there, so we're going to have to reevaluate that. And later time. No, go ahead, Joe.
There's not too awful much to report. We've gotten into a time of the year where I don't have a lot of what I'd call projects going along. It's just a lot of maintenance, upkeep. It's mowing grass. It's spraying weeds. It's spraying for insects. Justin O'Day, by the way, has a raspberry project going on right now. And so there's been a weekly insecticide application that we've been doing. It's an organic insecticide, just in case anybody's really concerned with it. So it's just a lot of that kind of stuff lately. But do want to throw out two little things here. First of all, we had an event that happened here a week ago tomorrow. For some reason, our irrigation well shut off. And I'm at a loss. I don't know why it would have shut off. All I know is I just like a computer, guys, I turned it off, waited 10 seconds and turned it back on. It works fine. Hasn't shut off since. So why it did that, I don't know. It did cause a momentary, it's probably a couple of hour interruption with irrigation for the community gardeners. So if there's any community gardeners on here, folks, I apologize. There was nothing I could do. In fact, I had the day off when it happened. So. Luckily 10 minutes later and I had it up and running again. One other thing I wanted to throw out there is after 2.5 years of intention, intending to do it, I finally have put together a cultivating tractor that we've been using in the the food bank field and the partners in careers fields. And it may not sound like much, big deal. There's a cultivating tractor. Well, the big deal is this, is that it hopefully the operating costs will be, let's call it half or less than what they had been doing. They've been running a rotavator. Rotavator is, of course, a rototiller behind a tractor. And, to get rid of weeds. And that's all well and good, except that rotavators are very expensive to operate on a per hour basis. Now that we've got this cultivating tractor, they can run back and forth all they want. And I did a little investigation here. If we wear out all of the shanks on that rotavator, we're out a whopping $60 to have them replaced. You know, the rotavator, the rotavator's old. My fear is that if it breaks next time, it's going to be to the tune of, you know, $1,000 or more to repair it. So, like I said, it's a little win, and I'm pretty excited about it. Too bad it only took 2 years to get it up and operating. So that's really all I have to say about what's going on at the Heritage Farm right now, guys.
Any follow-ups for Joe or Eric? Okay. I think the, let's see. Did anything come in under chat? Welcome, Rocky. Okay. Ed, you sent me a little chat here. Did you want to do that now, or is this something you wanted to talk about aside from this meeting? Is Ed still there?
Did I send you something? I said I was commenting on Joe's talking about mowing. He was doing lots of mowing. That's about it.
Oh, lots of mowing, Joe. Okay, okay. It was actually from Christine. It's interesting how these things are highlighted. I got them mixed up. Christine, did you want to talk about a grant that you applied for?
Yeah, so I just wanted to let everyone know, I sent something out. This was 2 or 3 weeks ago to everyone that we have that the extension has an opportunity to apply for a USDA grant for local farms to purchase PPE supplies. And so, and that includes hand washing stations, hand washing sanitizer stations, and different types of PPE equipment. And so it looks like it's pretty sure that we'll be getting that. It's up to $50,000 that we'll be able to purchase these different things. And so I graciously got some really great feedback from Blair and Joe and Nancy around just the types of hand washing stations that would work best. So I just wanted to let everyone know that that's in the works, and hopefully cross your fingers that that will go through, and we should have some hand washing stations that we can use that are kind of put around throughout the farm, and also sanitizer and different types of other types of PPE equipment. So.
Great. Thank you, Christine.
Hey, Pat, this is Heather Tischbein. I have a question.
Sure.
Can somebody give us an update on that incubator farm project that person, you know, is what? He's got a lease on 2 acres or something. Is there any news there?
Joe, you're probably in the best position to talk about that since you're out there seeing the progress he's making.
Yeah, yeah. So Dustin Bruce is, of course, the operator, and he has, you know, signed a lease with Clark County. I want to say the approximate wording of the lease is 1 to 2 acres, so minimum of 1, maximum of 2. And he is he has some plants in the ground and is moving forward with his incubator farm. With that said, I don't know that he will, let's put it this way, I don't know that he will see any measurable income this year, which is, I guess, it is what it is. However, his real plan is to do some serious cover cropping. And he and I were, in fact, just talking about that here, middle of last week. He's going to be planting some fall cover crops very soon with the intention of doing what's called a rolled cover crop. If you guys know anything about that, essentially you crimp it down, lay it down against the soil, and as it breaks down, it acts as a weed barrier. Kind of the same thing you do with plastic mulch, only it's a biologic, you know, it's a It's a cereal grain crop. So that's really what's happening there. Like I said, not much production for this year, but his real hope is for next year.
Joe, I have a question about that. So is the idea, I mean, when I think about incubator farms, my thought is kind of the example that we've heard about over in Oregon, where you have multiple farmers, learning about how to farm. And it sounds to me like this is just, is this just one person or just Dustin learning how to farm? It's like, what's the model that he's using, or is he planning on bringing on more farmers? Is there an educational component with that, I guess?
Yes and no. I just want to make sure I'm not muted here. No, okay. So the major difference between what Dustin Bruce is doing and the incubator farm at Headwaters Farm in Gresham is that Headwaters has a curriculum. This does not. Now, talking to Justin, Justin O'Day, by the way, I can never talk about Justin and Dustin at the same time. I always confuse the two. But talking to Justin O'Day, he said there is a precedent for an incubator farm that does not necessarily have a curriculum component. So this is not unheard of. With that said, I do know that Dustin has told me that from the beginning he intended to bring on, I got to use my air quotes here, interns. He wanted interns to come and help. He hasn't found any interns. So that's been one of his major problems, has been finding labor. Go figure. I probably could have told him that, but anyhow, labor has been his major limiting factor this year.
And I guess, Christine, this is Sandy, I'll chime in a little bit. Based on the proposal that he gave to the Heritage Farm Advisory, was that this year was going to be kind of the field prep, and if he did have some crops, it would be, you know, a maybe kind of thing. So he sort of is in line with what his recommendations were, and that he was really intending to have crops next year. And Joe's right, he was trying to get some interns that would help with the prep of the fields and so on. But his future goals are to have farmers come and, like you said, come and practice farming and learn farming skills. And in his educational plan, he included a lot of the classes that are offered in the community for farmers, like the ones that Extension does, and the Conservation District has some. And so he had quite a list of places that he was going to involve the farmers in getting their education without a set curriculum. Now, that being said, he also didn't say he would, he said he would entertain more of a curriculum or an outline of when farmers need to take certain kinds of things. And so I think he's open to that. It was a flexible kind of plan at that point. And the plan that we approved was the first 2 years of 5 years. And so more of that heavy duty educational piece of those farmers would come in that third through fifth year. So that was to be yet determined. So, but he has quite the extensive plan that he's given us as the Heritage Farm Board that we looked at. And I can share some of those details, but some of it's in flux and kind of learning as we move. And that's why the Heritage Farm Board only approved the first 2 years of it, to kind of get it off the ground and see where we are, and then see if he needs to make adjustments in that plan before we approve the full-fledged thing. Does that help?
Yeah, it does. Thanks, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy, can I add a little bit to that? One of the most important parts of what Dustin is doing here, at least the first 2 years, is to show that it can be done. We hear talk all the time about the incubators and how somebody can do so much with so little with respect to land space and so forth. But seldom do we see, you know, really effective success. And I think that's what Dustin is looking for to begin with here. And then as that shows itself to be real and to prove out, he will be able to bring more people on to, you know, to replicate and expand the work that he's doing and extend the knowledge then to more people as they see, yes, this can be done. I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Thank you, everybody.
Excuse me. Mute button. Blair, I was just gonna turn it over to Blair so you talk about the foundation and you know, anything to report from the foundation activities.
Okay, well, this won't take a long time. What I'll say is we continue to meet. We're working on developing and improving our website. We had talked about identifying some projects that we could begin that would give people something, like they say, oh, I'm willing to give to a project like that. And it's very interesting that the primary project we decided to start with was hand washing stations. And I think this is an example of how things are going to work. We're going to have an idea, and then without doing anything about that, that idea is going to permeate the community, and people like Christine will come forward and say, hand washing station, I was just thinking about that. And we'll say, yes, that's a mental telepathy that's going on here as we do our planning. Because, you know, she called us like 2 days after we decided that's what we were going to do. And then I think we're going to do hand washing stations. And so project number one hopefully will be success and in place maybe by later this fall. But we are still looking for projects that could happen on the farm that will give people a specific thing that they might be interested in and want to be a part of and be willing to donate to that. That's kind of the effort that we're kind of focused on right now, is looking for potential positive projects that can enhance what's going on at the farm.
Great. Thanks, Blair. Okay. Any final comments anybody has?
I have a question, Pat.
Sure.
This is Rob. So what happened to our the advisory board recommendations we made 6 to 8 months ago about increasing the fee for the community garden, fees for storage, reorganizing some storage areas? We submitted these recommendations quite a while ago, and are they being handed on to Eric for dealing with, or they gone into a black hole?
In terms of well, the master gardener, the community garden fees, yes, that as Christine mentioned earlier in the meeting, is managed by WSU Extension. So they went forward and increased the fees this year. They did it about mid-year. Those that signed up early kept the old price, and then they bumped it up to 75, I think. In terms of the storage and the other recommendations, I think one of the things that kind of we were hoping for is for us to move forward a little faster with the business and marketing plan and operations plan, because some of those things tie back to some of the lease agreements that we have. So for example, if someone wants to expand their space that is under lease with some additional storage at the farm, then we're talking about amendments to lease agreements. So we wanted to walk anything like that up the ladder before moving forward on it. And you're probably, well, I won't say you're right, but I think it's intuitively, it makes sense that Eric may be certainly addressing allocation of storage and things like that, as we discussed earlier in the meeting, and sort of this new paradigm moving forward and how we're going to be managing things at the farm.
Okay. Oh, one other question. We're going to start meeting in person, or we're going to continue doing the Zoom meetings?
That's a very good question. I don't know. We have to get clearance through our processes to start meeting in person again. We would, I think many of us would certainly like to go in that direction, especially so we don't have to deal with WebEx. But
And Kirk looks much better in person than he does on the screen.
But yeah, we'll have to wait and see if you know, we get clearances from Labor and Industries or whoever we need to try and open up things. My opinion would be very nice. Okay.
This is Sandy, and I just wanted to say Blair didn't mention that on our website, we now have the membership form is active, so people can sign up to be members and pay their membership dues right directly, and Kirk will put the money in the bank immediately. but if anybody's interested in becoming an individual member or lifetime member or corporate member or whatever, that's on the website, and we're really trying to get the word out that there's a variety of memberships out there for people involved in the Heritage Farm or interested in the farm or want to support it in some way. So check out the website for that membership form.
Okay, thank you for adding that. And I think that brings us to the end of our agenda. Next meeting will be September 16, same time. We don't know if it'll be WebEx or some other, at least for the immediate future. We're assuming it's WebEx, but if that can change, certainly we will let folks know if it's gonna be in person or continuing to be online. All right. Thank you all for participating.
Thanks for all your work, Pat. And I'm going to miss you. I wish we had a chance to give you a send-off party.
Don't be a stranger. We'll have a party for him and invite him and see what happens.
You know, I'm not moving anywhere, so I'll be around.
Oh, you're not moving back to Massachusetts, huh?
No, I'll just stay on the West Coast. I'm transplanted at this point.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And thank you all for your great engagement with the farm. And
everybody have a great weekend.
All right. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.